October 1st, 2008. Urien was aghast at what he found in the temple housed next to Asheron's in Kadateros. When he heard a noise, he'd expected one of the souls to have escaped out of one of the other areas, but this was no shade. This was a man, swimming in the wrong place at the wrong time. "Who are you?" Yet as he turned around in the pool, Urien felt as if someone had slapped him. Hard. For there was no doubt who he had to be. Asheron's despised twin brother. Holy shit, they were identical. Same height, same build, sculpted features, virtually indistinguishable, except where Asheron had those freaky, swirling silver eyes, Styx had a pair of vibrant blue ones, eyes that were the closest shade to Urien's he'd ever seen on another person. Weird. And while Ash preferred to keep his hair long and dyed black, the evil anti-Ash held to their natural blonde shade and wore his cut short. He was also scarred abysmally, and still the defiant bastard had yet to speak. "I asked you a question," Urien snarled. "Do you not understand me?"
"I heard you."
"And?" With a slowness Urien was sure was just to piss him off, he climbed out of the pool and reached for a towel. He dried himself off, then wrapped it around his hips before he closed the distance between them.
"Ask me when you find a new tone. One with respect in it."
Oh yeah, this guy was a douche on steroids. Now all the stories he'd heard about the infamous brother made total sense.
"You must be Styx. So you're not as stupid as you look."
Urien would have made an equally nasty comeback, but he couldn't get over how many scars Styx had on his body. While Urien had more than his fair share, they paled in comparison to the number this man carried. Apparently, Styx pissed off everyone he'd ever come into contact with. Urien grimaced at that roadmap of pain.
"Damn, you're scarred up." "Are we all?"
He didn't comment on that, especially not with his past.
"I was told you'd been put on one of the other islands." "I was."
"Then why are you here?" Styx picked up another towel to dry his hair.
"I like this one better."
Wow, his arrogance was quite a special thing. "Are you always this big an asshole?"
"Are you?"
That was a loaded question, and then some. Urien flashed a grin. "Basically, yes. However, I thought I'd tempered it for you. Guess I'm an even bigger ass than I knew." Styx laughed.
"Then I'd hate to see you on a bad day if this is a good one."
"Yeah, well, according to Ash, I pretty much get on his nerves every 10 minutes.
"If it takes you an entire 10 minutes, I'm impressed. All I have to do is enter his line of sight to wreck his whole year."
Urien smiled. It wasn't often he met someone who could match his sarcasm. He'd love to put this guy in a match with Shadow. He indicated Styx's scars with a tilt of his head. "You must have been a soldier who saw a lot of combat for those."
"I was. And I did."
"Cavalry?"
"Protostratolites."
Urien's eyes bugged at such a prestigious role, especially for someone so young. That was almost unheard of. In fact, he only knew of one who'd done that. "At your..." Oh, wait a minute. Styx of Didymos, Styx?" He nodded.
"No."
"No, what were the odds? Seriously?" Urien sputtered at something that was too surreal to be reality. "How stupid do I feel? I never put the two names together before, mostly because I assumed the protostratolites who damn near defeated Atlantis was an old man." "Oh, wow," he breathed. "You were a legend. When I was a kid, I extensively studied your surviving war notes and reports and everything written about you. Your tactics fascinated me, but there was so much you left out."
"I didn't want someone to use my strategies against me."
"As I said, brilliant. And if you knew me, you'd know I gush over no one." Stunned and thrilled to meet his hero, Urien held his arm out. "This is really an honor." Styx hesitated, then shook it.
"So, how old are you, really?"
"I was born a few weeks before you and Asheron died, and before you condemned me, I mostly lived on people who deserve to die."
"Mostly?"
Urien shrugged. "Sometimes he can't be picky, but I never fed from a human woman or a child, or anyone who couldn't fight back. Styx held his hands up.
I'm in no position to judge anyone for how they survive.
A deep scowl furrowed Urien's brow. It's strange, though.
What is?
How much you and Asheron favor each other, not to be related at all. Sighing, Styx dropped his second towel, then finger-combed his short blonde hair.
Trick of his mother's to throw off the gods looking for him.
Urien snorted. She did well. I had a fraternal twin brother myself.
Had?
He was killed a long time ago, by a dark hunter.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Urien inclined his head to him, as that old wound opened and bled. Thanks. Me too. It's hard to lose a brother, and twice as hard when you're born together. Kind of like losing a limb. Styx snorted.
In my case, more like losing a sphincter.
Laughing, Urien shook his head. What happened between you? I mean, damn, Asheron forgave me, and I definitely didn't deserve a second chance. You don't seem like an outright bastard, and you definitely didn't battle like one. Things you did, you protected your enemy against your own troops, and you were barbecued for it by Greek historians and commanders.
I was barbecued for it by many people.
Now that he knew who he really was, Urien followed him from the pool into the bedroom. He had so many questions to ask, things he'd always wondered about that no one had documented. Really, how often did someone get to interview their hero? So how old were you when you first went into battle? 5?
16.
Styx picked his clothes up and went behind a screen to dress. Damn. That was harsh. My father refused to let us near battle until we were past our majority. For Appellates, anyway. He waited so long it was actually embarrassing. Urien didn't want to think about the times his father literally picked them up and threw them down to keep them from battle. He took a step back and gestured toward the door. Would you like to come up to the main hall with me? Dinner should be about ready. Styx shook his head as he came around the screen.
I'm not welcome there. Asheron would have a fit to find me in his temple.
Urien had forgotten about that small fact. It would be the same as inviting his father to dinner. Yeah, real bad idea. Asheron hated his twin with a special kind of vim. Don't worry, I won't tell the boss man you're here. Stay as long as you want.
Thanks, Urien.
Styx went to hang his towels up to dry. Hey, Urien called. Would you like me to bring you some dinner?
Gods, yes, I'd kill for some.
Embarrassed by the emotion he'd betrayed, he cleared his throat.
Yes, please, I'd appreciate it.
Urien suppressed a smile at Styx's enthusiasm. I'll be back as soon as I can. Though, to be honest, Urien hated leaving him there. Alone. If there was one thing he understood, it was loneliness, isolation. And Styx had had more than his fair share of it. Before, when he'd assumed him to be Asheron's villain brother with no conscience, Urien hadn't cared what happened to him. Now he had a face and a history. It made a lot of difference, perspective. Life was all about perspective. If anyone should appreciate that, a former daemon should. After all, his people had been misjudged by everyone. And they still were. It was why Spawn was one of his few friends among the Dark Hunters. He was a former daemon, and one who'd served under his command. They understood each other, and both were ostracized by the rest of Asheron's army. They were the Brotherhood of Misfits. Styx was their newest recruit. Welcome to my madness. And that was what it was. That raw, biting loneliness that never left him. The bitter gut punch that ached through and through. He'd lost both the women he'd loved most, Zin and Phoebe. Life was so bitterly unfair. Why couldn't it have taken him instead? Trying not to think about it, Urien snuck into Asheron's temple where he lived and did his best to act nonchalant. He shared the temple with Asheron, Simi, and Asheron's steward Alexion, who was one of the first Dark Hunters ever created, and sadly, the first to have been killed. And Alexion's wife, another Dark Hunter, who died in the line of duty. Danger. And of course, Alexion's own Caronte, Simi's sister, Zarina. They and a few peculiar pets made up Asheron's happy home. Aside from the collection of statues in the basement no one ever talked about, and Urien meant no one, as that topic quickly sent his boss into a fit of anger.
"You okay, Uri?"
Danger asked. As soon as she saw him skulking about, Urien dropped the banana he'd been trying to smuggle out.
Yeah, you? Always.
Good.
Crap.
Why did she have to be so nosy? Hours went by before Urien was able to head back to where he'd left Styx. Though what the man was doing, Urien didn't want to know, as it appeared he was pulling out some kind of nasty seafood grossness to eat. Pushing that aside, Urien set his backpack on the table beside Styx. He frowned at Styx's dinner. What is that? Styx shrugged, then returned the unidentifiable ick to the urn on the table. Urien's scowl deepened as he tipped the chipped clay cup to see the coconut milk in it.
Ew! Really? You were really going to drink this shit?
Ananki du theo mak tonai,
Styx said simply. Urien laughed. Not even the gods fight necessity. Nice. You said that to your men right before the battle for Aena.
Did I?
You don't remember? I used to use that for my own men to motivate them. It got me stabbed once. Apparently what works for Greeks doesn't work for the spotty daemons.
Honestly, no, I don't remember. And it got me stabbed a time or two, too. Besides, I can't really take credit for it. It was something my mentor used to say to me all the time.
And what would he say about this? Urien held up a bottle of wine.
Bromateon.
Food of the gods. Urien handed it to him, then dug out the opener and two glasses. I'm gonna hazard a wild guess that you're a little short on supplies. Would you like me to bring you something?
I can make do, but some fresh water would be nice. It doesn't rain here, and it doesn't get quite hot enough to make a lot of condensation. It's been difficult to desalinate the river water, which I can't figure out why it's salty.
Urien scowled at something he hadn't known about the island, or Styx, for that matter. Why didn't you stay where your supplies were? Styx dug a fork out of the backpack and sat down to eat.
I haven't received any.
Urien was aghast at the last thing he expected to come out of Styx's mouth. What have you been living on? Closing his eyes, Styx savored the unfamiliar taste. He swallowed and wiped his mouth before he answered.
Clams, mostly. Whenever I can find them. Coconuts, some greens I found out back.
He took a drink of wine, then sighed in appreciation.
What?
Nothing. Urien grabbed the backpack up. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay? Styx nodded as he kept eating.
Urien, what's this called?
It took Urien a second to realize that Styx was as innocent about the world as he'd been when he was first made human. Damn, that was pathetic. Spaghetti.
It's really good. Thank you.
Paracalo.
Urien hated leaving Styx alone. But once again, he found himself hiding a massive secret from those around him. Weird that this seemed to be some recurrent theme in his life, and he didn't know why. He'd done so much to avoid drama, yet that bitch kept hunting him down just to put stress on him he didn't want. So here he was again. But what else was he to do? He couldn't let the poor guy starve. Styx needed help, and it wasn't in him. Yeah, okay, so maybe it was in him to turn his back on people and not care. Urien was a bastard that way. Yet there was something about Styx that was so familiar. A kinship he couldn't deny. Maybe because he looked so much like Asheron, and he owed Asheron so much. Whatever it was, he found himself back in the temple where Styx sat at the pool with his feet dangling into the water while he stared off into space at nothing in particular.
Is this what you do at night?
Urien asked him. Styx got up and pulled his jeans down.
There's nothing else to do, really. Sometimes I go outside and stare at the moon.
You must get a lot of sleep.
Not really.
Urien couldn't imagine living like this, and he'd always thought his life was lonely. How are you not crazy? Styx snorted.
Who says I'm not?
Touché. Perhaps they all were. I couldn't take 3 days of this boredom without being stark raving mad.
As far as prisons go, trust me, this isn't so bad. No one's sticking hot brands on me or beating me, and I'm not chained to anything or drugged. Best of all, I don't have to bend myself in half to lie down.
Urien cringed at what he was describing in a monotone, yet the scars on his body said that he spoke from absolute experience. When were you a prisoner? Styx laughed bitterly.
Honestly, in the whole of my extremely long life, I've only spent roughly a high grand total of 14 years where I wasn't imprisoned for one reason or another.
That number staggered his mind and left him reeling. More than that, it left him furious on Styx's behalf. What the hell? Imprisoned for what?
Being born Asheron's brother? Well, except for when Apollo and the Atlanteans held me here. That was entirely my fault. Turns out gods don't like it when humans defeat them and invade their homelands. Who knew?
Urien had to sit down for a second on that one, especially when he remembered Apollo's reaction the day she'd seen his shield. And Styx would have been just a kid. Where the hell were his parents?
Didn't anyone love you?
He looked up at him. Styx let out a bitter laugh and ignored his question. Instead, he swung his arm around the room.
Did you know this temple belonged to Betania Agriosa, the Atlantean goddess of misery and wrath? The next temple on the right belonged to Epithema, the goddess of desire. She was a royal fucking bitch, vicious, cold, lived to hurt others. It always made me wonder if Aphrodite was anything like her.
He paused as he caught the pained expression on Urien's face as he grappled with trying to reconcile the horror of Styx's life in his mind, and kept failing to do so. He just couldn't imagine what this man had been through.
Sorry. I'm not used to having anyone to talk to.
Honestly, Urien wasn't sure what to make of Styx. From what Asheron had said of his brother, he'd expected some arrogant, demanding prick who looked at people around him like they were dirt. The man in front of him was definitely not what Asheron had described. There was no arrogance in him at all. If anything, given that he'd been born a prince to one of the richest kingdoms in the ancient world and had been a young commander of one of the most successful armies, the bastard was exceedingly humble. He had a very quiet, suspicious nature, more akin to Urien's. He reminded Urien more of the gators that called the swamps home in Louisiana. Styx kept his eyes on everything around him, assessing each corner and shadow as a possible threat. Though he seemed to be at ease, there was no doubt he could launch himself at someone's throat and roll them under for the kill before they even saw him move. Yeah, Urien could easily see in Styx the legendary general he'd read about, the one who didn't complain over anything and who had sacrificed and sold his own personal effects to buy supplies for his men. Just the physical scars on his body alone made a mockery of the person Asheron thought him to be. This was not some pampered prince who'd been waited on hand and foot and who expected the entire world to bow down to him. In over 11,000 years, Urien had never seen any man more scarred. Even Styx's fingers and the backs of his hands said he'd lived a hard and harsh life. For that matter, Styx barely had the use of his right hand. Two of his fingers, the pinky and ring fingers, stayed permanently curled against his palm, and the other two didn't fully extend. More remarkably still, there were just 4 scars on his face, and one of them was only noticeable if you paid close attention. He had a faint scar beneath his left eye, one that ran along his hairline across his forehead that was covered by hair most of the time, one that slashed across his right eyebrow, and the one in the center of his upper lip, where it had been forcefully busted open so many times that it had left a permanent divot and thick vertical line. The awful condition of Styx's body verified what he'd said about captivity, as did his knowledge of the temples. As with Colossus, There was nothing left inside any of the buildings here to say whom they belonged to, and not even Asheron knew. But Styx did. And what really screwed with Orion's head was the fact that Styx had been imprisoned for more than 11,000 years. The duration of Orion's long, long life. So he could easily appreciate exactly how many mind-blowing years that was. Alone. He would call the man a liar for that, but again, the scars, and his calm acceptance of Asheron dumping him here and forgetting about him, testify to the fact that Styx was more than used to isolation and neglect, more than used to scrounging for scraps to eat. And all Styx had asked him for was untainted drinking water. Buddy, you get the prize bonus in my book. Orion still couldn't believe how humble a request that was. I brought you more food, Orion said, trying to break the suddenly awkward silence.
It wasn't necessary.
Having seen the shit you had on your plate when I brought in the spaghetti, I'm going to respectfully disagree. Orion headed back to the other room and, as a trained warrior himself, didn't miss the fact that Styx kept a lot of empty space between them. He also walked at an angle so that he could see if Orion was reaching for a weapon. The way Styx did it, it was hardwired into him. That, too, made a mockery of the pampered prince bullshit. At least until he saw what Orion had brought in a large plastic box, and then Styx relaxed his protocol and rushed forward.
Bread?
He whispered. Yeah, that's the white stuff in the plastic bag. His expression said he hadn't had bread in a long time. Orion imagined he must have looked like that the first time he saw daylight. He stepped back so that Styx would look through the box and see what else it contained. The minute he was clear, Styx rooted through the contents like Eric breaking into his presence on Christmas morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Orion picked up another box that he'd set on the floor. I have your water and more wine in this one, and I put candles and a lighter in here, too. Styx placed the lid on top of the box.
Thank you, but I won't need those.
Orion glanced around the cave dubiously, and that was from a former daemon who'd once called Colossus home. You sure it's really dark in here? Styx shrugged.
I'm used to it. Besides, if Asheron sees a light, there's no telling how he'll react, and I don't want to fight with him. Most of all, I don't want him to take away what little freedom I have.
Damn. For that, Orion wanted to beat Asheron's ass. What kind of bad history did they have? But then, having fought on and off with his own brothers, and even his sister, he understood. It didn't make his brothers or sister bad people, it just made them family. Okay, I'll bring more food after tomorrow. Styx smiled at Orion.
Careful. You keep this up and I won't have anything to occupy myself with.
Orion's phone rang with Cassandra's ringtone, though it could be Eric calling since he'd started using it to update him on his daily routines. Excusing himself, he pulled it out and turned it on to answer. Unfortunately, it wasn't the cuter of the two on the other end. Hey, Cass, is everything all right?
It's fine. Wolf and I had our babysitter crap out on us, and Chris's wife is sick. You know what that means. Big guy doesn't want the kids nearer for fear they might come down with something fatal, and I really would like to have one last night out before the little ones outnumber us.
Orion laughed. Neither their son Eric nor their daughter Phoebe had ever had a cold in their lives, and baby three, soon to be named Tyre, was due any second now, which was why he'd panicked when he answered. His first thought was that she'd gone into labor early.
Sure, I don't mind babysitting. You know that, I love your rugrats. They love their Uncle Uri.
She'd no more than said that than he heard Eric in the background begin chanting,
Uncle Uri's coming!
Then his nephew started a happy war cry that warmed Orion's heart and simultaneously saddened it to a level Cassandra would never understand, as it reminded him of all the other nieces and nephews he'd never see again.
I've gotta go run that one down, Ori. He's off the chain. Love you. See you soon.
Yeah, see you soon. Love you too. He hung up and slid the phone back in his pocket.
Your wife?
Styx asked.
My wife's sister.
So does your wife live in the main temple with you?
Well, that question sucked every last bit of joy and humor out of his ear. His stomach tight, Orion reached to touch Phoebe's necklace. No, she died.
I am extremely sorry. I know how hard that is.
While Orion had no doubt Styx had seen his share of pain and then some, the guilt he felt over that night was its own special form of eternal hell that he could never reconcile. No matter how hard he tried, no matter what he did, it all came down to one harsh, bitter truth. I appreciate it, but I had a very special bond with my Phoebe, and she was killed when I should have been there to protect her. Styx drew a ragged breath.
I do know your pain, Orion. My wife was murdered by Asheron's mother while she was pregnant with our first child. And I have absolutely nothing left of them except my memories.
Wincing at the nightmare Styx carried, Orion dropped his gaze to his arm, where Styx had carved two names into his own flesh. It didn't take a genius to figure out who they were or why Styx had done it, and how much pain that man held in his heart to have inflicted that much harm on himself because of it. Bethany and Galen? He nodded.
I had no other way to honor them. I never even got to see their bodies.
He cleared his throat.
You need to go to your family. Don't keep them waiting.
Yeah, if anyone ever understood his pain where Phoebe was concerned, Orion had found him. In that they were joined in a very sad and pathetic brotherhood of misery. What about you? Styx laughed.
I assure you, I'll be here when you get back.
Yeah, he guessed he would at that. Orion gave him an ancient salute that Styx quickly returned, and then Orion left to head up the hill. But with every step he took, he had a strange feeling. Like he knew Styx from somewhere. The man was so familiar to him. He's Asheron's twin, dumbass. There was that, and it wasn't like you didn't obsess over him as a kid or anything. He laughed as he remembered his father banning him from even saying Styx's name in his presence.
If I hear you speak of that Dinamosian bastard one more time, Orion, I will beat you until you can't sit down. And stop dressing like him. He was an enemy to Atlantis and to Ptolemy.
For that matter, Orion had Styx's phoenix emblem tattooed on his biceps. Best not to ever let Styx see that, though. It might freak him out. But then Orion was used to keeping it covered. It had been another thing that had enraged his father, much like his shield. I just excel at pissing off everybody. Orion paused to look back at the dark temple. Had he not been out for a walk earlier and heard the faint splashing, he'd have never known Styx was in there. And he'd almost ignored it and kept going. Only his centuries of honed senses and incessant need to check and lock down his perimeter had caused him to investigate the foreign noise. Wow. As he resumed the path to the main temple, he couldn't understand Asheron's reasoning where Styx was concerned. Having lost all his brothers, he'd give anything to see one of them again. Even Archimedes, who'd bullied and shoved him to the point where Orion had wanted to rip his heart out more times than not. The two of them could barely be in a room and not walk out bruised from the unfortunate event. Still, he'd welcome that asshole back. If he could. Dang, Ash. Who in their right mind throws out a perfectly good brother?